Today we are having the verse 34. Second chapter, contents of the Gita summarized. Text 34. Akirtim chapi bhutani. Akirtim chapi bhutani. Kathai shanti te vyayam. Kathai shanti te vyayam. Sambhavitasya chakirtir. Sambhavitasya chakirtir. Maranat ati richyate. Maranat ati richyate. Akirtim chapi bhutani. Kathai shanti te vyayam. Sambhavitasya chakirtir. Maranat atirichyate. Akirtim chapi bhutani. Kathai shanti te vyayam. Sambhavitasya chakirtir. Maranat atirichyate. Akirtim chapi bhutani. Kathai shanti te vyayam. Sambhavitasya chakirtir. Maranat atirichyate. Akirtim chapi bhutani. Kathai shanti te vyayam. Sambhavitasya chakirtir. Maranat atirichyate. Akirtim chapi bhutani. Kathai shanti te vyayam. Samavitasya chakirtir. Maranat atirichyate. Do you want or? Okay. No problem. Okay. Okay. Second chapter. 34. Okay. Trente-quatre. No French. Vierunddreißig. Oh, yeah, good. Okay. So, do you want to read? No. Okay, no problem. Akirtim infamy. Cha. Also. Api, over and above. Bhutani, all people. Kathai shanti, will speak. Te, of you. Avyayam, forever. Sambhavitasya, for a respectable man. Cha, also. Akirti, ill fame. Maranat, then death. Atirichyate, becomes more. Translation by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. People will always speak of your infamy, and for a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. Purport. Both. As friend and philosopher to Arjuna, Lord Krishna now gives his final judgment regarding Arjuna's refusal to fight. The Lord says, Arjuna, if you leave the battlefield before the battle even begins, people will call you a coward. And if you think that people may call you bad names, but that you will save your life by fleeing the battlefield, then my advice is that you'd do better to die in the battle. For a respectable man like you, ill fame is worse than death. So you should not flee for fear of your life, better to die in the battle. That will save you from the ill name of misusing my friendship and from losing your prestige in society. Hare Krishna. So the final judgment of the Lord was for Arjuna to die in the battle and not withdraw.
Hare Krishna.
This is very, very heavy verse. Because this is the final judgment of Krishna, what Arjuna should do. And the judgment, the final decision is very simple. So Arjuna should stay on the battlefield and fight. 234. It's 234. So, we have, because Arjuna doesn't want to fight. It's before. This happens before the battlefield. He has all his conceptions about how he should act. Okay? And he doesn't recognize yet the situation, who he is, who is the Krishna. He's not seeing clearly. So he is in the mood of leaving everything, and he has these good reasons, very ethical, moral reasons, not to kill the family members, elders, and not to because of the destruction of the dynasty. So there are very good reasons. But here Krishna says, no, you should stay and fight, because you lose your honor, and this is worse than death. And this situation repeats itself after the battle of Kurukshetra. That Arjuna is again put into the situation, he has to make a decision. And I would like to relate you the situation and then ask you a difficult question. We will see what you answer. Because if you remember, because now Arjuna has to, Krishna is saying, okay, you do what I am telling you, but Arjuna has completely different conception. He now, at this point, he still is before all the hearing the Bhagavad Gita, so he doesn't know why he should do anything else than to leave the battle. Okay. So now in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, 7th chapter, it's described described the story of Ashwatthama after the battle of Kurukshetra. So, as you know, Ashwatthama was the son of Dronacharya, and he was a very skilled warrior. And after, you know, Dronacharya was killed, and everyone almost killed, and battle was won by Pandavas, Ashwatthama did one horrible act. He killed the sons of Draupadi, 6 sons of Draupadi, in the sleep. He sneaked out into the camp, and he thought, yes, in this way. He thought these are Pandavas, but okay, there were sons of Draupadi. So he cut their heads. So this was, the according to the Kshatriya court and the rules, it was horrible. And then Arjuna promised to catch him and punish him, or even worse. So the sequence of of what happened then is in the seventh canto from the verses 35 to 54, 57 even. So I will relate it to you step by step because it's important to understand what happens there. So because Arjuna again is put in the situation when he is not clear. The one thing is clear. As here in this verse, Krishna says that you have to fight. The principle is you have to follow Krishna's order. So in this situation with Ashwatthama, also the principle is valid. But there is something else. So after catching Ashwatthama, Krishna says angrily to Arjuna, you should kill him. Kill him, yes, and then no mercy. For the person who does such a horrible things like sneaking into the camp and in the at night and cutting the heads of the innocent children, so there is no mercy. And this is Krishna saying, no mercy. And he says that there are, you know, they remember from Bhagavad Gita, this type of aggressors, that someone who sets a flame, kills your, attacks you, etc. So this, he said, this is one of the types of the aggressor. He should be, according to the scripture, immediately killed. So he says, kill him. And he says, even, you promise to Draupadi that if you bring his head to her, the Ashwatthama's head, after, because he did such an act. So even worse, because Ashwatthama did such a horrible thing, so he dissatisfied his masters or the teachers or gurus because this was complete disaster, like turning into dark side of the of whatever dark side is. So Ashwatthama went there and did what he did. So and it is said in Bhagavatam that in this way Krishna is examining Arjuna in his piety, in his religiosity. But Arjuna is not willing to kill Ashwatthama. So we have again the situation that Krishna has his own idea, okay, what to do. In Bhagavad Gita, he has the idea that he shouldn't kill because of this five reason mentioned, but Krishna says kill him. And here, he doesn't like the idea of killing of Ashwatthama because he says he's a Brahmana, so I cannot kill him. So, yeah, the later she says, yeah, we will come to that. But he was thinking in this way also. So, then Arjuna takes Ashwatthama, still alive, to Draupadi. Ashwatthama is bound, and when Draupadi sees him, she immediately is full of compassion because he sees the Brahmana. Okay, and says, "Please, Arjuna, release him." Because, you know, pays obeisances and says, "Release him. He's a Brahmana. He's our teacher. So we cannot." Treat him like that. So, and then she says, I don't want his mother to suffer as I am suffering. So Draupadi is full of compassion, really, even for such a person. So here we also see the qualities of the Pandavas and Draupadi, how exalted they were. And then at this point, so Arjuna still has in mind that Krishna tells him to kill. Okay, and now he is after the battle, so he knows who is Krishna. Okay, before he didn't know, so he could have some doubts, but now he knows who is Krishna. So Krishna says to kill, but here Draupadi, his wife, says, no, you cannot kill. And then, to make the situation even worse, I would say Yudhishthira, the personified religiosity, says, yes, Draupadi is right. You shouldn't kill Ashwatthama. So the situation is really difficult. On one side there is Krishna. Krishna is saying kill. And on the other, there are relatives. And you know, like Yudhishthira, who is like dharma personified. And he says, no, you cannot kill. What to do? So then all of them present, like Nakula, Sahadeva, Satyaki, ladies present during this scene, they all say, no, no, don't kill him, don't kill him. They are so compassionate. They, you know, after all this slaughter during the Battle of Kurukshetra, they want, they just want that no more killing. But at this, you know, everyone is so compassionate, but Bhima says, angry, no, he is the aggressor, let's kill him now. Immediately, I can do this. I have no problem. Let me kill. But okay, this is the Arjuna's duty. So he is really, really perplexed. Because it's a heavy situation. So he knows who is Krishna, he knows the Krishna's desire just to kill. He saw universal form. He knows that they are already dead. But still, he is being tested by Krishna and he is going to make his decision. So he understands something and he he does the thing what he does. You know what he did. So I will tell. So the Krishna says, okay, this is not a Brahmana, this is friend of Brahmana, he killed he's an aggressor, he killed your family. So according to all the rules, he should be killed. And but you, because you are my friend, you are my devotee, you also have to fulfill my desire. You have to fulfill desires of your relatives and my desire. So now do what you have to do. So it's not easy with Krishna, if you know him, at least. So Arjuna... He humiliates Ashwatthama. He's cutting his hair, he's cutting his jewel from the head, which means that I never figured out what is this jewel. But anyway, something which bone with a jewel. Bone. Ah, bone with a jewel. Okay. And so he just cuts it, and in this way Ashwatam loses his power. Okay, so he deprives him of his powers by cutting the jewel, and they kick out Ashwatthama out of the camp. So Ashwatthama practically is finished as the person. Yes, they cut his hair also, yes. So, I don't know the details of the story. Can you tell us this, what there was five sikhas, five masters?
No, there's something I remember, there was one story where they just left him with five little cups.
So, okay, that's the detail, nice detail, okay. Yes. So now, we have We have Arjuna in two different situations, and he did two different things. Okay. So my question to you is, what's the difference between those situations? Because there is a difference. What's the difference? Why? Because before the battle, Arjuna he didn't want to fight, but then Krishna said, "Yes, please fight." Okay, and he didn't know why, and then he followed the order of Krishna. Okay, and then it seems that after the battle, he didn't follow fully Krishna's order. Okay, he did it, but he took something else into consideration, but didn't do this before the battle. So what's the difference? Why do you think he did it like that? Any clues? Yes, the throne is safe. Yes. Yes. He is not killing, yes. Okay. Yeah, one may say that there was no need to kill, but still Ashvatam did, after that, the nasty thing. He didn't give up. He released his Brahmastra weapon against the Parikshit. So one may say, okay, perhaps he should listen to Krishna and kill him, so it wouldn't be, you know, more. Yes. And Arjuna succeeded. Yeah, he did it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he killed him. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. This is very good what you said. I have also few points regarding this, because what Karuna Mai said, this is very important. One situation is before the battle and the other after. So this is like I was thinking about the difference between Arjuna before the battle and after the battle. So before the battle, he is, let's say, he's not yet devotee. Okay, he didn't surrender fully to Krishna before the battle. So he still thinks in the categories of relatives, okay, bodily connections. You know, where is the happiness, what's the destruction of the dynasty, how to kill the rest. He thinks in a materialistic way. So it's like we are coming to Krishna consciousness, so we are thinking in the way of, like we used to think, okay, in the way based of our bodily relationship. Bodily means body, gross body, and mind. Okay, we have all these habits of thinking. So here, Krishna says, Arjuna, just do your duty, kill, and speaks about infamy, etc., because this infamy, etc., relates to the material conditioning. So this works for Arjuna, okay? In this state, before the battle, before he becomes the devotee. And when he becomes when he sees who is Krishna, what is his position, and what's Prakriti, what's Purusha, it's Bhagavad Gita, he hears Bhagavad Gita, he understands, that he becomes a devotee. Okay? So then, in this state, he is acting in a different way. Okay? Then he is not considering only time, place, and the bodily connections, but he is considering bodily connections and Krishna. Okay, and that's the difference. Okay, he takes into consideration time, place, and circumstance and Krishna. Okay, he is adding Krishna to everything. Before battle, he didn't do this. After the battle, he did it. How did it happen? Because he surrendered. By surrendering, he did something, okay? He gained the experience of being a devotee. How? He had like the condensed course of being a devotee, 18 days course, crash course of being a devotee. Just kill all your relatives. So he did it. Yes, he did it. So it's like you know, crash course for being bhakta. 18 days. Yeah. But he was Arjuna. This was for him. Okay? And this experience, because you cannot imagine the experience of killing your own relatives, because we don't have to do this. But this, the very experience of becoming, you know, the killer of your own relatives or your bodily connections, changed Arjuna. He became a devotee. He started thinking in different way. Okay, so after the battle, the principle stays the same, because we are looking for the principles here. So principle is the same before the battle and after. So to satisfy Krishna. Okay, but before the battle, he didn't know how to satisfy Krishna, because he was thinking about himself mostly and relatives. But after the battle, he adds Krishna to everything. This is Krishna consciousness. He didn't change into machine under remote control of Krishna. Okay, Krishna says kill him, and he just killing. No, he is still the same Arjuna, with full of love for his relative, for he's full of compassion. He is a religious person. Still, he didn't lose it. But he became Krishna conscious, so he added Krishna. So when we add Krishna to our life, we don't become like you know, machines to fulfill Krishna's mission, and we just forget everything and anything. No, we add Krishna and we become more human. That's why Arjuna didn't kill Ashwatthama, because he was more human than before, because he added Krishna, and he was thinking not only about all the ethics, morality, he should think as a human being living in the society, but he added Krishna on the top of that, and this made him more human, because he satisfied, and by this he was able to satisfy not only Krishna, but only also his relatives. But then the question is, and this is most difficult for us, how he did it. How he satisfied both. So the answer is by using his intelligence. Okay? By using his intelligence, his knowledge about the scriptures, knowledge about who is Krishna, who is he, what's the relationship. So that's challenge for all the devotees, all those who surrender to Krishna, that when you surrender, when you become devotee, you are obliged to use your intelligence more even than you was before you became the devotee. So becoming Krishna conscious is using your capacity, your intelligence to the most extent, because you have to think not only about, you know, just morality and ethics regarding the people, but also Krishna. So that's the challenge in Krishna consciousness, to use your intelligence in this way to satisfy everyone. And this is not difficult. This is not, you cannot do this by simple schemes. It's like Prabhupada, there is this story that someone was asking him, it was about, it's Hari Shauri relates this story, or Shutakirti, about that Prabhupada was saying that everyone was criticizing him for allowing ladies to live in the temples. Okay, it wasn't before like that. And they were criticizing that he changed the principle. But he didn't change the principle. The principle is to serve Krishna. Okay. So, and he asked him how you can know that you are not changing principle, you are just adjusting to the time, place and circumstances. And do you know what Prabhupada said? Yes. It requires a little intelligence. So, in fact, to be a devotee, I would say, it requires a little intelligence. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes. Yeah, crash course. Yeah, it was. You know. Yes, yes, but he is acting as non-devotee. Yes, yes. Yes, so we can say that he wasn't devotee before. So, he was playing this role to teach us, to give us a lesson. And that we have the opportunity to hear the Bhagavad Gita, and we can consider that yes, to fulfill this purpose, he wasn't devotee, he wasn't acting like a devotee before the battle. Okay, I mean in this moment when he got his doubts, his doubts about what to do. Yes, yes, yes. Also, yes. Yes. Yeah, that's true. This is when we're speaking about pure devotees, so they have the direct relationship with Krishna. So this is the Krishna's plan. Okay? This is directly Krishna, it's not Maya. It's directly Krishna's arrangement that this situation happened just to teach us, give us opportunity to learn. And it's said that Krishna and Arjuna, they are, you know, performing the same pastime in all the time in different universes. So this is perpetual. They just do this. This is their pastime, and they act it again and again and again and again. And we just see it from time to time. But Arjuna is a pure devotee, but is acting as a non-devotee in this case. Any other questions? Comments? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shila Prabhupada. Okay, one more question. Yeah. Yeah, because Krishna refers to the infamy, okay? Infamy relates to the body, okay? The soul doesn't care if you are famous or not famous, if they respect you or not, okay? This is just social conditioning. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because pure devotees have, as I mentioned, they have the relationship with Krishna, and everything what happens to the pure devotee is a pastime. You cannot look at it as the ordinary dealings in the material world. No, these are pastimes. With Prabhupada, all what he did and what he underwent in New York and spreading the Krishna consciousness, this was pastime because he was the pure devotee. Okay, this is not that Prabhupada had to struggle. Okay, really, this was the pastime. Okay, it looks like you go to the theater and you see, you know, someone is piercing with a knife the chest. Ah, is dying on the scene. I'm dead. So, but after the, you know, after performance, he just goes home and has a, I don't know, tea with a wife. So that's the same situation here. Okay, they perform. We see, oh my God, he's struggling. But then they go and have a nice time taking prasadam or something. Okay? Hare Krishna. Okay.